Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music. I am the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo. With me is the King of the Casters, Chief Defender of the Faith, Mr. Brett Podcast. And yeah, we are your metal nerds. And if we are your metal nerds, then we have with us a true metal god. So please welcome
a boss, the one and only. Say.
Yeah, the ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, Ross the Boss.
What is up, folks? How you doing?
How's that? Is that your best introduction in the last hour?
That was, you know, I don't know how to follow that. That's amazing.
Oh, well, it's been a good show then. And, you know, well, thank you for coming on. And, let's open up with some questions. Brett, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, why don't, the new album's coming out on April 20th by Bloodsworn. And I got to tell you, I mean, we've listened to it, and it rocks. And it's right on par with your other releases, and I think you're doing great. So tell us about the album.
Well, thank you for the compliment. It comes out April 20th. 10 new originals. We did three old Manowar songs of my catalog. On the Digipack as bonus tracks, Hail and Kill, Oath, and Each Stone I Die. But the real greatness is in the 10 new originals that me, Mike LaPond, and Mark Lopes wrote. So we're really excited about it. I mean, it's an organic record. It was done pretty much live in the studio, but of course with overdubs. Old school, you know. No, it's not a computer record, as most of the metal records are these days. It's not a computer drum mix. It's not a, you know, Pro Tools every single syllable. You know, we let it ride on it, and I think the results of it are fantastic.
Is there ever a point, like, in with your older albums now, is there a point where you do more, where you did more studio and less live kind of thing, or is this, you know, pretty much normal for your recording?
Well, the first two records, I had my band lived in Germany, and I of course live in New York. So we was, you know, we would do the basic tracks, and then I'd be going home, and we did swapping files across the Atlantic, thanks to the internet. That was the one good thing about the internet. But in this case, we all live here. The new band, we're here, and we were all able to do it, practice more, have more pre-production, and do it locally.
Yeah, I mean, that must make a huge difference nowadays. I mean, you know, it's nice that we have the internet, and so you can definitely have a band from all over the place. But I would think that it must reduce some of the creative element.
Yeah, it does. It does. It eliminates the human reaction. You know, I'm not being in the same room together, not, you know, not getting under each other's skin, not like, you know, sussing each other out, you know, not be able to like, oh, this sucks, this is great, you know, this, you know, blah, 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 you know, like, you know, let's go get some pizza, let's go get some beer or something. Let's have a, you know, let's talk about this. Let's redo it. Let's rearrange it. Let's put the chorus there, you know. Let's invent a new break to it, you know. Let's change keys, you know. You know what I'm saying? It takes the internet is great, but I mean, you could really work a lot harder and a lot more efficiently when you're all together. There's just no doubt about it.
Is it harder to find a band now and all that locally? Because I know that in some cases it's so easy to go overseas, to go to some of these other countries and find people to work with you. But whereas in the US and the like, it's a little bit harder. But is that the same in your case?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was lucky enough to have a lot of musicians here. Mike LaPond, the greatest bass player in the world, lives in New Jersey, not far away from me, here in Queens. And Mark Lopes is a Boston boy, lives in LA. Steve Bolognese, our new drummer, lives in LA too. But, you know, that plane flight is not like going off across the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Mark and, you know, we have places for them to stay here. So it's really great.
Because one thing that I've always found is that with creativity, you're always better off when you can scrap a little bit. And you know, in the case of like heavy metal, it always feels like scrapping is probably what you need to get it the best.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, listen, we Mike and I spent a lot of time just screwing around with riffs and what felt right, what felt, you know, I mean, we're two field players. Mike's a field player, so am I. We spent a lot of time just sitting there working with these riffs and sussing them out and vibing it and you know it was a lot better, you know, really doing it instead of, you know, me writing all the songs and, you know, just sending this is what it's going to be, blah 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 blah. You know, sometimes it works, you know, but I like this better. I liked it a lot better. This is more what I'm used to, the old school. This is how the Manowar's great records were made.
Yeah.
You know, the Dictator's great. That's how the Dictator's greatest, that music was made, you know. The old-fashioned way.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you can tell, I think, in the sound, for sure. Do you have more, did you create a bunch of songs, and then these are kind of the best ones that you're putting on the albums, the ones that make the most sense?
Yeah, we had a couple of extra, but I think that, you know, when what we did is pick the winners. We had winning riffs. We call them winners. And you know, there's just no way that we were gonna work on 20, you know, songs and just come out with 10. We picked the ones that we knew what we were gonna work on. We knew it. I mean, when I came up with the riff for by Bloodsworn, that's a winner. You could just hear it. You could just hear it even before you heard the vocals on it. When I came, you know, Among the Bones riff, that This Is Vengeance riff, you know, the Faith of the Fallen, you know, that acoustic guitar bit. You know, we knew it. You just knew it. You know, Mike came up with Devil's Day and Fistful of Hate. I mean, when he gave me those songs without lyrics, I said, you know what? Those are winners. Those are winners. You know, when Mark and his other guitar player, John, came up with We Are the Night, I said, that's a winning song. We're doing it. That's it. I heard it. I knew it. You know, I have that ability to know what's going to go and what's not going to go. And that went. And those songs went. There's no doubt about it.
And there's no question to me, like, and I know I've commented to Mo before as we've listened to your work, that, I mean, your riffs stand out. Like, you do, you definitely seem to know what makes a good riff, and it shows.
Right, but you know, along with the riff, you have to have a strong metal chorus. The metal chorus is the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of wondering about the psychology and the craftsmanship of this music that you were talking about. Like I know that you were recording, you know, you had good riffs or whatever, you're recording them on your phone or your iPad, right? In my research. So do you come up with a riff? Do you hear it in your head before you play it? Or is it something that just only when you start to actually play with the guitar starts to come together for you?
No, actually, well, a lot of the time. Sometimes I'm when I'm playing around and I fall into it. It's a gift from God, the gods. I just fall into this pattern or something and something takes hold. Other times I'm just going on my business and I hear it in my head and then I take my phone out and I record it and I hum it to my phone. You know, it's just whatever the inspiration comes, that's when it happens. So.
And then you, from there, to so you kind of get the riff. How do you build the rest of the song around the riff?
We figure out what the mode of the song is. The riff starts out as a riff. You know, da 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 da, like Among the Bones, I did. You know, da 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 da, you know, and then I have to come up with another part and another part after that. It's kind of, most of the songs just kind of build themselves.
Okay. And then, so when you're putting together the album, then you got all these different riffs. Are you conscious that, like, we need this type of riff for this type of song to, like, we need this type of song on the album? We need this type of song on the album. Or is it all just, like you say, just, you know, you could just tell what's going to be best and you're just worried about putting together the best songs? Or is it kind of crafting the, you know, the overall mood of the album?
Well, it just, it, sometimes it, you know, if I need a fast song, I could usually come up with something, you know, because there's usually a fast riff hanging around. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It just, it seemed like we had the material this time. We had the fast ones. We had the epics, Lilith. We had, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, one thing I'll say is that I appreciate the fact that you, like, I guess have the confidence to put in the acoustic, the ballad kind of song, even like, and it certainly doesn't have to be like a love ballad, but it's a really strong song in there. And I appreciate the fact that you're willing to do that.
No, listen, the music usually flows, and that's this time around, this is why it was great, because I was able to not, you know, bounce my ideas off on Mike LaPonde, who's really, you know, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Let's come up with a, you know, round down, you know, bum, 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 let's go up, let's go down on it, you know, it's just the whole thing, the way we did it. I mean, it's just, that's the joyous thing. That's how joyous our music was this time around. It was really wonderful to write the songs. There was no pain involved. There was no stress involved this time. And it was almost like scary. It was scary, you know. So that just sums up the whole thing.
So you finished, as of March 25th, you finished leg one of the tour. Is there another, like, this is part one. Is there more legs set?
For the U.S., no. We postponed the second half of the U.S. tour. We're going to Europe and Australia next week. Next week we go to Europe. And then at the end of April, we go to Australia.
We're up in Canada, but Western Canada. We know you're Eastern Canada. So we were hoping you would get out here too, because, you know, I mean, yeah, it's nice that you got out to Quebec City and Toronto, but we're seriously nicer people.
Canada was awesome. Canada was amazing. We had three great shows in Canada. We can't wait to go back to Canada.
Yeah, because you were booked. We had seen you booked here. In Calgary, but then it was postponed.
Right. Yeah, it was.
We were kind of wondering what was going on there, but I guess Europe is still, who are you playing with in Europe? Who's, are you,
well,
you know?
We're doing our own shows and, we're doing some festivals and, you know, pretty much Europe is wailing. Australia is wailing. Canada was great. I have to say the United States is lagging behind right now as far as heavy metal. I mean, it's terrible. I'm not going to say it's terrible, but there are some really cool spots there. I mean, Detroit was a real good, you know, city. But as far as enthusiasm and people turning out, and it's just, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in the United States. I don't know.
Well, I bet you you'll get a great crowd here, and I know that we'll definitely be among them when your show becomes unpostponed for Calgary. But
I have no doubt we'll get there. But I mean, and you know what? After this record gets released, it'll be a lot better, I think, and because this record is it's a stunner.
So what does the tour and the set list look like for you right now?
What's going on? We're going to go to Germany first next week on the 12th. Play one show in this town, Aalen, A-A-L-E-N. And then we're going to do the Wacken boat cruise for 3 days. Wacken boat cruise, another four or five German shows. I think, no, we have an Italian show, Netherlands, Italy, then Australia.
Do you do a lot of those like cruise, those rock cruises and that type of thing? Because I'm kind of curious as to how that works, and you know, especially for the band.
Oh, great.
Yeah?
You know, the Vakenfest is amazing.
How about the songs that you're playing on tour?
Oh, well, we're doing the Manowar stuff, and then we're slowly adding the new stuff in. We can't throw curveballs to the crowd, you know?
No, nah, they're going to want the Manowar stuff, obviously.
Not so much Dictators,
well,
then?
No Dictators. Not these people. I obviously can play anything I want, but because I am the boss. But I mean, you know, they would like anything I play. But it's all metal. It's people are expecting the Manowar stuff, and you know, and then we're gonna start playing the new stuff.
So then, now you're still doing albums, and I know that you've said before that you really like the process of doing songs. Is it, do you find it more difficult now to continue to work on albums and to continue to tour? Because I mean, at least you have a decent tour. It's not the kind of tour where you're looking at like, oh, it's one weekend here, it's one weekend there. So you seem able to go out on a decent sized tour.
Yeah, no, I mean, luckily I can tour, but you know, some bands, they just can't, I mean, anymore. So, I mean, it's great to be able to go out and do 3 weeks, just what we did. So,
well, I saw an interview with you kind of probably from a decade ago, and you were saying that the internet was ruining music then, and then it's like 10 years later. And you think, and you said the good thing about the internet was that you could, you know, be in different locations. And I think you forgot the second good thing, which is, of course, porn. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's two good things.
Of course.
But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But, but yeah, like, do you think that in the last 10 years, then it's gotten even worse or better? Is it kind of the same?
Well, it's wrecked. It's wrecked the music business. I mean, as it once was. I mean, bands that once sold 10 million units are selling 2 million, you know, it's that kind of a downward spiral.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, cause it's such a huge drop off, and yes, I know that of course the internet theft is so big, but like we've talked to a lot of these people who are able to or not able to tour, and so it's just like it seems like, because even these bands that were selling 10 million and now they're only selling 2 million, like how does it even work for them?
Well, everything has to be, you know, everything, their whole pay structure, their whole touring structure. I mean, it's just modified. It's just you they can't. I mean, it is what it is. You know, so everything has to be, you know, graded up, graded down appropriately, accordingly. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter to me because I'm a road dog. I can play. I'll play night after night, and my singer can sing six nights in a row. And you know, so
man, he sounds great on the album. I was really impressed.
He's a god, believe me. And he came up with all the hooks, the metal hooks, the words. I mean, he's genius. That's genius. That's almost genius level. I mean, so yeah. I mean, he is who he is, and I'm so glad I picked him.
Yeah, no kidding.
How hard was it to find him then in this case? Because I know you had to replace your band.
It wasn't hard at all because Mark was singing in the band opening for us in my best friend's band. He was guessing. Twice he came on and sang Fast as a Shark. This guy, all of a sudden, I see this guy singing Fast as a Shark and like lighting it up. And this guy has stage presence. And this guy had, you know, this guy had command, and this guy had, you know, I mean, it was, yeah, he was the whole deal. And I was like, holy shit, who is that guy? The first time I saw him, and the second time he played too. And I said, well, you know what? And I needed a singer. Guess who was the first guy I called?
Yeah. Now it must be nice when it kind of falls into place like that.
Yep.
So
1 year later, look where we're at. We're about to release a monumental record and start a whole new thing. So,
and that's it. Like, when you're seeing a guy like this, is it just that you know he can sing, or is it that you know he can sing your stuff? You know what I mean? Like, what's is any singer, like, because you worked with so many different singers over the years. I mean, you have the, you know, this 30 plus album discography. You've had a couple of female singers in that time with, you know, the Brain Surgeons and you know, stuff like that. So, like, how do you know? Like, is it just anybody, if they can sing good, they can sing your stuff, or do you really look for somebody who can nail your specific stuff?
I knew it. I just knew it from Mark. About Mark, I knew it. I have a second sense about singers. I mean, I knew Eric Adams was going to be a genius, and you know, I knew Sean Peck could sing. I knew Mike, you know, Mike Katoria could sing. I knew, you know, I knew all these people can sing. I just knew it. There's something about it. I knew Mark can do it. What I didn't know is if he could do six shows in a row, and he did it, and he took care of himself, and he's trying to. I'm at the batting cage here.
Oh, is that it? Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah. Love that you know, I love how you give back to the community that way and everything.
Yeah. No, the kids love it. I mean, they love baseball's great. Baseball's just starting. You know, we're happy. New York Mets are 4-1. We're really excited. And screw the Yankees.
Hey, as a Blue Jays fan, I'll say that too.
Yeah. Good. Give it a bit. Yeah. So, no, everything, you know, guys, you know, I have a second sense of singers. Thank God I do. I mean, I'm looking forward to really, really good things happening now. And that's just the feeling I have. I think I have this feel. I had that feeling before Battle Hymns came out, you know, that something would happen. Something positive would happen, you know. So I have that kind of same feeling right now. I might be wrong, but you never know.
What's a, you know, you mentioned Battle Hymns, which is obviously the first album for Manowar. It's great, you know, to set you guys out there. What do you have any kind of, you know, work in Manowar that you're most proud of?
Yeah, I would say the first record, just getting started. Getting that record contract, you know.
What was the process of getting the record contract? Like, you know, because you guys had a unique sound. Was that a positive for you? Like, you know, or was it kind of difficult to get record companies to understand who and what you were?
Starting the whole process?
Yeah. It's just kind of like, how did you get signed as Manowar?
Well, I had a friend, Bob Curry, who worked for EMI, and he always wanted to do something with me. He wanted to do something with me, and what he didn't realize, the thing he was going to do was something called Manowar.
I was interested because you talked before about Europe and Germany and stuff and how good it was there, and I know that Manowar has such a great following in those countries. So what is it? What's part of the culture over there that allows bands of you know, like the metal bands, to really be so much more popular over there?
Well, it's the you said it. It is the culture. It is the culture in Europe, that it's part of their culture, warriors and castles and stuff. It's part of the whole thing. So, I mean, you know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're in America, it's barely, you know, it's not, you know, so in Europe, it's all that. It really is. All over Europe, in Scandinavia. Well, we know what goes on in Scandinavia with the Vikings. Yeah. And, you know,
I was born in Denmark, so yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. You know, so.
But I will say, Mo, you'd be a terrible Viking.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Well,
yeah.
I tell you what, you don't want to. You know, I don't know. I have a good nickname, the Crown Prince of Charisma. It's not as good as Ross the Boss. and I, let me tell you something, my favorite, personally, I still think, no offense, but I think Handsome Dick Manitoba is the greatest name of all time, personally.
I mean, it is a good one.
I mean, if I was going to, I mean, mine would be maybe passable with the lights off, Dick Manitoba would be like my nickname, But yeah, so anyways, Brett, we wanted to ask you about the album cover for the latest album, because I think it's kick-ass, and historically you've had so many cool album covers. How did this come together? Do you pick it out, or do you know who's going to do it, and or they bring you a bunch of different options, or how does it work?
Well, we picked our artist, Stan W. Decker from France, and he just, his work is absolutely, his website is spectacular of all the stuff he's done. And we said, this guy, he's got to do it. And I called him and he said, you know, he can't speak English, but he can write in English. And he's like a huge, turns out he's a huge fan of Shaking Street and a huge fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he has his album like as a shrine, you know, and he loves me and he loves my Dictators. And man, I mean, he knew everything about it.
We actually have a tradition. It's called Plug Your Shit. The floor is yours. You. Tell everybody where to find your stuff, when to buy it, and how to get it.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to thank you guys for having me tonight, for putting up with my insanity from my batting cage in peak season, peak baseball season. You can hear the ball smashing around me. I want to thank you guys for your continual loyalty and you know, support over the years and for everything I've done. But I want to tell you how I'm really excited about the new album and the new band, and things are just absolutely falling into place right now. And go check out the record. It's called By Bloodsworn. It's on AFM Soul Food. Available in Canada, available in the United States, available in Europe on April 20th. You can hear one of the songs, This Is Vengeance, on our Facebook pages, on our sites, and they put that out in advance. And well, just show up and support metal. And what can I say? Thank you to all of you.
Thanks very much. Hopefully sometime we can talk to you when it's not peak baseball season and get into some of this a little deeper.
Yeah. Well, I want to go Blue Jays and screw the Yankees. And So, I'm sorry for all the confusion and everything. And, you know, let's for the future, guys.
And we definitely do want people to check out the album, check out your awesome website. It's really a cool uh-huh. website. It's got that, and
thank you.
That piece of art, beautiful right there when you get on it. And mm-hmm. You know, the Facebook page, like you say, so the Boss Band. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, that's why I want to buy a record. I want to buy Bloodsworn in record, just so that I can have that cover.
We have, yeah, the cover is magnificent. We have red vinyl. They made red vinyl, gold vinyl, black vinyl. I think the gold vinyl is sold out already. But
wow.
Yeah, the Digipack, buy the Digipack because it's got the three extra Manowar songs. And finally, I heard the way, you know, I did it the way I wanted to do it with the actual guitars in the mix. And you know, finally some songs with some guitar in the mix, some Manowar songs. And what can I say? I'm sarcastic.
That's awesome. No, that's great. That's great. Yankees suck. Uh-huh. And we're out of here then. Have a good night, sir.
All right, guys.
Thanks so much, Ross.
All right.